We're going to read this morning from scriptures from the book of Colossians. We've been going through this book, and I'd like to, just before we read some scriptures from chapter 1, just to remind you where we've got to. Lewis Stevenson, do you remember Lewis? Started off this for us a few weeks ago. Paul and Timothy writing to the church at Colossae, to holy and faithful brothers. Isn't that a great commendation of a church? Holy and faithful brothers. Grace and peace is what God asks for the believers there. And we do well to pray that for the church here. Paul prays for the church there, giving thanks that they've a great reputation in faith and love especially. So that's where Lewis took us to a few weeks ago. Then Paul Simpson came and focused on verses 9 to 14. Walk well, react well, and rejoice well. Do you remember that? Remember those headings that he had? And Paul prays that they might know God's will and that they might live lives worthy of him and please him in every way. And then last Sunday we had Dean Lappin, who came and focused on verses 15 to 20. Paul focusing on the supremacy of Christ and his relationship to the Father, to creation, and to the church. That brings us up to speed, I hope. And then this morning, we want to focus on verses 21 to 23. So let's read those together from Colossians chapter 1. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. If I asked you this morning, what does Muhammad Ali and Franz Beckenbauer and Zinedine Zidane have in common? I wonder what you'd say. Or if I asked you, what about Pelé and Boris Becker? What would you say? Well, I'll tell you the answer to those two questions just in a wee while. I don't know if you've ever heard of these guys, Adi and Rudolf Dassler. Anybody ever heard of those people? Yeah, Adi and Rudolf Dassler. If I take the first one, Adi, and the surname Dassler, take the first few letters of that, put those two together, Adi Daz. And you know what Adi Daz are? Yes? Sports shoes. You're quite right. Sports shoes. These were two brothers, Adi and Rudolf, and they started making sports shoes in their mother's washroom in the 1920s. But they fell out during World War II, probably over political differences. And they founded firms, two firms, on either side of a river in southern Germany. And they set up their own companies there. One, Adidas, and the other, Puma, making sports shoes, sportswear. That was way back in 1948. And on September the 21st, 2009, some 60 years later, the employees of both companies shook hands and played a football match together. The old fallout now sorted out, and now they joined activities. And Muhammad Ali and Franz Beckenbauer and Zinedine Zidane wore Adidas, and Pelé and Boris Becker, Puma. A 60-year-old feud was over, and peace had come. Sometimes it happens in life, doesn't it, that people can fall out, and fall out for years. But it's lovely whenever reconciliation comes, and peace comes, and that's sorted out. There are four words in this passage this morning that I want us to focus on. And the theme is continue. That's where we're going this morning. But the first word is the word alienation. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. There's the word, alienation. If I asked you, what does that mean? What does alienation mean? Well, it means to be separated, to be excluded, to be estranged, as in two people in a marriage. Sometimes that can happen in marriages, people being estranged. There's the idea of separation here. There's the idea of hostility, hostile feelings towards God. And that's what we all were like. If you're a Christian today, then there was a time in your life when you were alienated from God. You were separated from him. The book of Isaiah says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. I can remember an aunt and uncle of mine talking about salvation when I was very young and me backing off. Didn't like it because I wanted to go my own way, not God's way. And there are two phrases in this verse that are for us to think about. The Apostle Paul says, you were enemies in your minds as far as God is concerned. Enemies in your mind. Your thinking wasn't right. Your thinking was, you were at enmity is the word that we often use. Means to be an enemy of God. But not only does he say that, he says as well as that, not only does your thinking exclude God, but your thinking impacts how you live. And evil behavior is the phrase that's used there. And so, way back, I hope many of us this morning, we look back to a time when we were alienated from God. In our thinking and in our behavior, both of those things reflects this alienation from God. Do you remember Adam and Eve told not to take the fruit of the tree in the garden? And Satan comes to the woman and says, did God really say that? And Eve takes the fruit and she eats the fruit and gives it to Adam. And the result was that sin enters the world and there was separation or estrangement. Adam and Eve were banished from the garden and a flaming sword flashed back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. There was alienation, there was separation, there was exclusion. And Cain is angry because God looks with favor on his brother's offering in those early chapters in Genesis. That's the mind. He looks with anger. But then there's the evil behavior as well, because Cain murders Abel. And so you get those two things. And says the Apostle Paul this morning, once that's what you were, once that's what you were like, you were enemies in your mind as far as God is concerned, and as your life was characterized by evil behavior. And for 60 years, these Adidas and Puma companies were separated from one another. 60 years. But look at the next word. The first word is alienation. The second word is reconciliation. Reconciliation. Listen to what it says again, verse 22. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight. Once you were alienated, he says, once you were separated, once you were enemies of God, but now things have changed. You're now reconciled. And the word that's used here for reconciliation means to reconcile fully or completely. Now you're completely reconciled to him. And if you're a Christian this morning, there's been a time in your life when you have come and you've sought forgiveness, and instead of alienation, there is now reconciliation. The word really means to restore friendship, to restore harmony again. It has the idea of resolving the separation, resolving the estrangement, resolving the hostility, and instead of those things being present anymore, what comes now? The thing that comes now is one word, peace. Peace comes. Peace with God. And it is great to have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And how does that come about? Well, the Apostle Paul says, and there's it's on the screen, by Christ's physical body through death. And we go to Calvary to really understand how it is that we can have peace with God. And it comes from God, says the Apostle Paul. All this is from God. It's from God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 speaks of the old having gone and the new having come. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. All this is from God, says the Apostle Paul there. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. All this is from God who reconciles us to himself through Christ, not counting men's sins against them. My sin was placed to his account when he hung on Calvary. My sin was taken off me and placed on him. He had no sin, but on him was put all my sin and all your sin as well. Psalm 32 says, blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him. And I want to show you this picture. I want you to look at that ledger. And there on the left-hand side, it says at the top, me. And at the right-hand side, it says, Jesus. And there, can you imagine on the right, left-hand side of that, all your sins listed? Every one of them. I wonder how many there'd be. Pages, and for me, pages and pages and pages and pages. But on the right-hand side, Jesus. How many sins did he have? The answer is nothing. He was completely pure. He was completely perfect. Never thought a thing wrong, never did a thing wrong, never said a thing wrong. But look at the ledger now, the next one. Do you see what has happened? Because that's what happened at the cross. God took all my sin and laid it on Jesus. The Lord has laid on him, it says in Isaiah, the iniquity of us all. And so he's lifted those off me and placed them on Jesus. And Jesus paid the great price for me. A great transfer took place at Calvary's cross for me and for you when my sin was lifted off me but laid on him. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe, says the song. I wonder if you ever realized that that's what he did for you. And this morning you can be forgiven. And that's what the word forgiveness means. Forgiven means. It means to have your sins lifted off you, but they were laid on another, and he was paid. He paid the price for your sin and mine. And you know what comes whenever you realize that and you repent of your sin and you turn away from it and you ask him to forgive you and you ask him to be Lord of your life? Do you know what happens? There's one word that sums it all up. There is peace in your heart. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so this morning, I'd like us just to reflect on that. Just think back. For many of you, to that time in your life when alienation was left behind and peace came. For me, it was at the age of 18. I wonder when it was for you. Maybe you're here this morning and maybe that has never happened. You just feel at a distance from God. You're here and God is there and your sin has brought about that distance, that alienation. But you know, this morning, instead of there being that alienation, there can be closeness and fellowship and friendship and peace. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember Edwin Yurt speaking at college and saying the greatest question a man or woman or young person can ever ask is, how can I be right with God? How can I be declared right with God? That's what the word justified means. How can I be declared right with God? And it comes through our Lord Jesus Christ and through what he did on Calvary's cross. So I wonder of those two photographs, that book, I wonder which depicts you. Is it the first one with your sins to your account? Or is it the second one, Jesus has taken away your sin and now there's, what is there to your account? There is nothing. There is nothing to your account because you're trusting in him. And you've had that time in your life when peace has come and the hostility and the alienation has gone. The word that's used for peace is the word irene, which gives us the word irene. And we have some irenes here this morning. But I hope we have a lot of irenes here this morning because peace has come to your heart and peace has come to your life. It comes through faith in the Lord Jesus, looking away to him and finding peace with God. For 60 years, there was alienation in these two sportswear companies. But then, peace. And maybe this morning, for you, for 10 years, for 12 years, for 15 years, for 40 years, there's been alienation. But maybe this morning, peace. And what a difference that will make in life and in death as well. That's the second word. The third word that I want to bring to you, alienation, peace, and the third word is presentation. Get a hold of this. This is absolutely marvelous. What does the Apostle Paul say in verse 22? He says, but now he's reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy, to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. That's a great thing to get the hold of. There's a coming a day when if you're at peace with God this morning, he will present you in heaven. And there you will be for all eternity. The word that's used to present here means to stand alongside. Can you imagine what it's going to be one day to stand alongside God? To be with him, to be close to him, and there for all eternity. And there are three words that are used. I've put them on the screen. First of all, he says, to be holy in his sight. When God looks at you on that day of presentation in heaven, you will be holy. There will be no sin to your account. You'll be dressed in a marvelous robe of Christ's righteousness. White, if you like, if you put it like that. His righteousness. And there'll be no sin, for sin will have gone forever. Holy in his sight. Going to be marvelous one day to experience that, to be holy. And then the second word is without blemish. Will there be a blemish in your life then? No. No blemish. All the blemishes will have gone. Will there be a flaw? That's what the word can mean. Some of you might remember us, and I can go back far enough to remember some clothing shops that you'd have gone to, and they'd have had seconds. You ever hear of that? Seconds in clothing shops where there would have been a little flaw in the jumper that you were maybe going to buy, and it would have been a reduced price, but there had been something not quite right with it. And for many of these jumpers, it's been hard to spot what the flaw was, but they had a flaw. But one day, when that presentation happens, when he presents us in heaven, there'll be no flaw. There'll be nothing wrong. Will there be a spot? Will there be a little spot that might keep you out of heaven? The answer is no, there'll be no spot. I remember one day at school wearing a jacket, and inside the jacket had a Bic barrel pen. You know those Bic barrel pens that you buy with the little stopper on the end and a cap at the other end? I had it in the inside pocket, and lo and behold, didn't the little stopper come out of the barrel pen and the ink out of the barrel pen and onto the jacket, but also onto the white shirt. So that afternoon went home, took the white shirt and tried the Vanish and tried the Daz and tried whatever. None of it made any difference to the spot that was there. and the spot just remained, and the shirt had to go eventually. Will there be a spot in heaven that will be against you one day? No, there'll be no spot. No spot in your white garment. Not at all. Holy, without blemish, and then free from accusation. The picture is of a law court. There'll be no charge in this court. There'll be no accusation. Never. For the price was paid at Calvary. I've never been in a court. I'm delighted to say that. Never stood in front of a judge. But as far as heaven is concerned, because of what Christ has done, there'll be no charge against me. Or if you're trusting in Christ and peace has come to your heart today, then there'll be no charge against you as well. Romans 8:33 says, who can bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? And do you know what the answer is? No one. There'll be no charge on that day, for it is God who justifies. So here's this presentation day. Have you got it in your mind? That one day he's going to present you holy, without blemish, and free from accusation. The closest I can get is thinking of a graduation day. Do you know, whenever people go through the course and they complete the course, and then they go to a big hall or wherever, and there you're presented to the vice chancellor or whoever for graduation. And one day there's going to be a marvelous presentation when God is going to present you holy, blameless, free from accusation in his sight, in his presence, and you'll be with him forever. It's going to be marvelous, isn't it? Can you just get a hold of that? Because alienation, there was once. Reconciliation, I hope that has come. And because of that reconciliation, this glorious presentation one day. What a glorious day that will be. But here's the fourth word. So we've had alienation, reconciliation, presentation, and then continuation. Come with me to verse 23. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. The word is continue there. Now, this is not saying that salvation is dependent on you continuing, but it's saying that continuing is the evidence of salvation. Keeping going. And there are three words just to focus on from this particular verse. The first word is established. The word really means having a great foundation. And the idea is of a building. Do you remember the story in Matthew's Gospel of the two builders, the one who built his house upon the rock and the one who built his house upon the sand? And the one who built his house upon the house stood when the winds came and the rain came and all the rest of it. But the one on the sand didn't stand. Great to have a great foundation in life, isn't it? What that foundation is building your life, says the writer, is putting God's word into practice, building your life on the word of God and putting it into practice. H.M. Carson, Herbie Carson, who went to Down High and was there for a number of years. Herbie Carson says, this refers to a building that withstands every gale. A building that withstands every gale. And so says the Apostle Paul here, established. Have this great foundation in life and continue. And then he said, there's another word that comes here, and it's the word firm. And the idea is of a seat. Take your seat. Take your position. Be securely positioned and keep going. Continue. And then there's a third phrase here, not move from the hope of the gospel. The apostle is saying, let nothing move you from the great hope that there is in the gospel. In the light of alienation, in the light of reconciliation, in the light of presentation, keep going, is what he says. The word that is used for continue here really means stay with it. Stay with it. Allow nothing to move you. And the Apostle Paul was a servant of the gospel, it says later on. He allowed nothing to move him from the gospel. The hope of the gospel was central to his thinking. And the word hope, of course, means something that's sure and steadfast, sure and certain. It talks about hope there in these verses. Sure and certain. And the gospel is being proclaimed, says Paul, throughout the world. Don't shift from it. Stay with it. Let nothing move you. And I have a picture in my mind of two armies. If you can imagine one army in Paul's day, one army standing firm in the gospel, and another army this time hurling everything it's got at this army standing firm in the gospel. The army standing firm does not move from where it's standing. Whatever comes, however fierce the gospel, however fierce the battle, it continues, it keeps going. And that's what God wants you and me to do if we're Christian this morning. He wants us to continue. He wants us to stay with it. He wants us to be immovable as regards the gospel. Because the gospel is a glorious thing that transforms men and women's lives and transforms their eternal destiny as well. But says Paul, whatever comes your way, don't allow it to move you from where you are, but keep going. Be established, be firm, don't be moved. Continue. So this morning, let's continue. Let's keep going with it. Let's stay with it. Let's rejoice in the gospel. Let's get the truths of the gospel into our minds and into our hearts. Let's have that as our great foundation. Let's have that as a real firm basis for our thinking and for our living. Let's be immovable so that when the difficulties come and people throw all kinds of things at us, we keep going and we don't move from it. As once alienated, but now reconciled, soon to be presented in the heavenly realms, says the Apostle Paul. Get those things in your mind. Alienation. Get that in your mind, and reconciliation and presentation. Keep on going. Let nothing move you from that. Continue, is what he says to you and me this morning. Continue. For the reminder this morning that once we were alienated from you, but thank you for so many of us here, that is no longer the case. And we find ourselves today, because of what took place at Calvary, we find ourselves at peace with you. I always say thank you for that. And Lord, we thank you that that means that one day there will be this glorious presentation in heaven, with all the saints, with all the redeemed, and we'll be there for all eternity. Thank you for that. And we pray, Lord, that we might be people who just continue, who keep going, who keep with it, who are rooted in the gospel, and Lord, who desire to spread that gospel and make that gospel known in our day and generation. So Lord, in days which are not easy, then we pray that you would help us to continue for the glory of your name. And we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.